as I wait, heart of God.
Hello, New Life, and welcome to the Growth Group podcast, where we believe that spiritual growth happens better in circles than it does in rows. My name is David Haken, and I'm joined by Jonathan Markham, the pastor of New Life Christian Fellowship here in Pacifica, California, and we record these podcasts to help you get the most out of your small group discussion each week. This week, we are wrapping up our series on the Book of Deuteronomy. The Bible Jesus Read is what we've titled this series. And yeah, these questions and the sermon as well has just kind of been an overview of the entire book and what are some of the lessons that we've learned? What are some of the themes that have been repeated again and again? I wonder, Jonathan, what have been some of the big things for you that you've noticed that you've taken away from in this series?
Yeah, it's interesting you should ask that, Dave, because just earlier today I was just reading through the book. I was noting all of the highlights that I've made in my own particular Bible. And I think that the thing that strikes me, I think you can get bogged down in sort of the middle chapters where he goes through big details.
But the laws in particular, 12 through 26.
But in the first 12 chapters, you know, Paul, Moses's desire to have them understand, firstly, what an immense joy it should be to them to be God's treasured possession, and that the extent to which he's already cared for them, and how the fact that he's cared for them is going to should encourage them to continue to have confidence in him as they move into the promised land and all that God promises. I was just struck again by the fact that the number of times he uses the words, you know, which are like the Shema. Listen carefully. Pay careful attention to this. That those are the things which really struck me. How God promises to... He points out, look, I just chose you because I loved you. I didn't choose you.
Right. Well,
and I'm going to provide for you.
What I find interesting about the Book of Deuteronomy is that it's one of those rare books that explains the reason behind the narrative. Mm-hmm. So often, the biblical text will just give you a narrative, and it'll be wacky and wild, and you're not told what to do with it, oftentimes.
Right.
Deuteronomy goes back, it reflects on the story that it has just given us in the last four books, and says, this is what was going on here. And it says, this is why I chose you, this is why I didn't choose you.
Right.
Or this is not the reason why I chose you.
Right.
And I find that's so refreshing, because it's scripture interpreting scripture.
Right. And I think it's really helpful to remember that this is, if you put this in its chronology, in a sense, that God told Abraham he was going to do something. He was going to make him a nation. It took him centuries to do that. But he finally did it when a family of 70 goes down into Egypt. They become, numerically a nation. They become in Egypt. But there, they're not acting as a nation. They're actually just a bunch of slaves. So when God takes them out, he's got to make them into a nation.
Right.
And this is part of making them into a nation. He's already taken them out. He's got to make them into a nation and teach them what it means to be a nation.
Right. King David was a king after God's own heart. So Israel's to be a nation after God's own heart. What does such a nation look like?
Right.
And those are what
it's helpful to remember, you know, we know what nations are like. Everybody who's alive today, you know, understands what a nation is. That it has some territory, it governs that territory, it treats its people in a certain way. That's what nationhood is all about. But they had no concept of what They were suddenly...
For their own unique people group. I mean, right. They knew the concept of a nation. They were inside of the nation of Egypt.
But they didn't know what to be, how to be a nation themselves.
Yeah.
And then they were given territory, which once they were given territory, that was a completely new set of requirements.
It was a territory they had never possessed.
No. And being a nation in their own territory is a... I mean, most of the nations had... grown into their territory, they conquered their territory, however they had come across it. God is just leading them straight into a land that he has promised them. He's going to drive out the people in there and he's going to give them the land. Now they've got to learn how to be a nation in their own land.
Right. I mean, it shouldn't surprise us, but the content of the book of Deuteronomy is exactly where it should be.
Right.
Right before Joshua. Let's do our first question, though. It's entitled Reaction. We began this sermon series through Deuteronomy almost 4 months ago. This series examined Deuteronomy's 34 chapters in 14 sermons and 56 growth group questions. What has been your reaction to this sermon series? Now, there's no wrong answer here. Take a moment to consider why you react in this way. You must have received a lot of different reactions to the series from various people, haven't you?
Right, I have, and I've had a selection of different reactions myself, you know, as I've gone through
lots of people have been tremendously helped by it.
Right, and other people have been very confused by it.
Oh, yeah.
Other people have said, I don't know why we did this, and, you know, I suppose that's, it's really a, it's a microcosm of what we, of reactions to any series of teachings, but in a sense, I think it's a bit more extreme in this case because for some, sometimes even though the pieces that you really appreciated have been followed by pieces that you find very confusing, and so I think that it's been a challenge to help me understand God better. And therefore begin to communicate sort of the things that we need to know about God.
Because his character is revealed in some of those passages that we find most difficult to understand.
Absolutely.
Sometimes we culturally do not have the necessary data to make sense of one individual verse here and there.
Right.
We don't have the content. We know God's character. We know that what he's called his people to do is good and right in their context. But we don't maybe... you know, have the explanation
Very simply, to understand that him being applying the as he prophetically tells us in Deuteronomy, he's going to do the consequences for breaking the covenant. That is as much an endorsement of his faithfulness as the blessing that as fulfilling the blessings that he promised.
Yeah, him. Very fundamental to understanding all the Old Testament story.
Right.
Let's get to our second question. Takeaways is what it's called. Deuteronomy has been called the Romans of the Old Testament, or its primary source of systematic theology. It is the book setting the course not only for all of the remaining historical books of the Old Testament, but its prophetic books too. What have been your biggest takeaways from this look at this lofty book? What questions do you still have? I'd be interested to hear your answer to that second question, Jonathan. You shared some of your takeaways earlier. What questions do you still have, having worked through Deuteronomy?
Oh, that's it. that's a good question.
Can you fit those questions within a 20-minute podcast? Probably not.
It's difficult. I still have questions about the nature of God. But I expect to have those. I think
Deuteronomy 28.
Yes. All of those things that although I'm beginning to see them, when you really try and understand God being pleased, and I know that the answer is that God is, in a sense, God is very pleased when he is able to
be himself. He's fundamentally consistent. Yeah.
But I still find that difficult to understand.
It feels like a philosophical
right. argument. It feels like a philosophical answer, a philosophical argument. And how am I supposed to feel that about that really in real life? And I think that watching God unravel all of the things when you the best bit is to look back at, from where we are now through in a new covenant time, and to look back at the old covenant and say, okay, I can see how that was a signpost. See the way the old covenant signposted the new covenant.
Right, shadow of the things to come.
And I think that's what I think.
It's not always explicit in Deuteronomy.
No.
There's a few places where it really shines.
Yeah.
But chapter 18 and 30, verse 6. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, our third question is called repetitive. We learned back in June that the whole of the book of Deuteronomy is a collection of sermons Moses preached to the second generation of wilderness wanderers in the final weeks before they crossed the Jordan and began to possess the Promised Land. We've also learned that Moses, like all good preachers, could be repetitive. What are a few ideas he returns to again and again? Why did Israel need these messages repeated, and what have you learned from them?
Well, the first thing that he repeats time and time again is remember, remember, remember. It's the importance of the experiences of God that we have in building our faith. I don't think you can ever underestimate that. That as we experience God and we say, yes, I don't know what he's about to do now, but I know he did this, so I can trust him. And it's that, I think that's mm-hmm. one of the things. And then it's the tendency that I think, actually, interestingly enough, is as true for us today as it was for the Israelites, is towards allowing some things or something to take the place of God.
Idolatry.
Idolatry. That time and time again, he says, don't, don't. And I mean, he says it because, of course, they were just about to go into a land where there was all sorts of other gods
right.
and all of those things. We don't have that circumstance, but we have, I mean, we have so many things which so easily can push God aside, whether it be our homes, our families, even our 401ks, our whatever, that they just...
What are we fixating our attention
yeah.
on?
Mm-hmm. Our attention is on. We have to keep reminding ourselves. No. I've got to put. I need to put God first.
Mm. Yeah. What I think about when Moses, what he preaches on regularly in this book is kind of back to my silly little sermon. LLL, law, land, and long term
yeah.
memory. So
mm-hmm.
you've hit the long term memory.
They're right.
called to remember and called not to forget, but. Then also, like, how many times he says, keep the law, keep the statutes,
yeah.
keep the commandments, like, so frequently. And and that's excluding 12 through 26, which are the laws themselves,
yeah.
both before and afterwards, these calls to keep the commandments. And then the result of keeping the commandments is the blessing that God would lavish upon them in the land.
Yeah, and I think that the most obscure one for us to deal with really is the land one.
It's a part that a lot of Christians these days want to spiritualize.
Yeah.
Anyways, let's go to our last question. Law is what this one's called. Deuteronomy is arranged so that at its very center is a large collection of laws, chapters 12 to 26. We spent a long time talking about these laws. What principles have you learned or methods you've been introduced to which you will now take into your reading of Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy in the future? Do these laws apply to us today? In what way?
Well, I think that certainly some of the stuff that we've articulated that maybe we sort of knew before. I mean, the whole process of looking at the law and saying, okay, what did it mean for them in their context?
Mm-hmm.
And then what is the principle
yeah.
what is the theological principle that underlies it, which may be a few layers down from the actual precise thing that's being talked about.
Right, and we want to skip to that step before asking what did it mean in their context, and oftentimes
and
skew our application.
Right, and if we appreciate the fact that there was that it had a context, it had a meaning, and therefore an understanding that can help us go to the next stage, which is say, okay, what's the underlying principle, mm-hmm. and therefore what difference does it make to me?
That's good. Yeah, this has been a difficult series, but a fruitful series, I think. And it had been a little while since we were in the Old Testament, hadn't it? I mean, we were in Exodus.
We were in 1 Samuel. I'm not quite sure which came first. I'm not sure which came first. But I know we've been in Samuel because we looked at the life of David in Samuel. Hmm. And then we did Exodus.
Let's do a series on the minor prophets: Amos, Habakkuk, Zephaniah. Yeah. Let's get into all those crazy.
Next week we're going to begin a new series, and we're going to be looking, because we've been looking. I mean, I looked at this at this particular series on Deuteronomy because the people of Israel were sent by God to a world that needed to know what it meant to have one God and to follow Him and to be His people. We are sent to show people what it is to be a person who has one God and who trusts Him for His provision today and His salvation for tomorrow.
And what does the word apostle mean but a sent one?
A sent one. Hmm. So that's why we did this, and now we're going to look at a series on the apostles themselves. We're not going to do all 12 of them, because some of them we don't know very much about, but we're certainly going to do 6 of them.
Very good. So when will that take us through? Let's see, we're in the...
That will take us through to Christmas.
Through up to Christmas, that's great. All right, well, I'm looking forward to it. Yeah, these little character studies should be good fun.
We're going to see how Jesus changed their lives.
Are you going to end it with Peter, probably? I mean, we have the most contact on him.
I know, yes, probably end with Peter.
You could do like 6 weeks on Peter alone.
Yes, you could, yes. We're going to start with James. James, the brother of John.
Okay, beautiful. All right, well, we look forward to that, and we'll see you then.
As I wait, heart of God, satisfy and sustain.